Let us continue in our dissertation this morning. Take your document. Again, as always, repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions. A measures, the matrix. Our benefits for matrix viewing from the vantage point of scripture viewing places us above the fray. All of the crazy stuff that is going on around us.
Yes.
It takes us into the realm of stability.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's peace. Uninterrupted.
Right.
Where there's joy. Uninterrupted. Where things are dependable.
Right.
Where we can depend upon things. Let's go take your Bibles and turn where we were last time we were before you. Let's go to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. Elder, let's back up a little this morning. And everyone, let's go to verse 34. Our focus basically all the way through verse 49 and into 50. Now, for the sake of time, which we always are fighting it, let's start at verse 34, and this morning let's just go through verse 38. Verse 34 to 38. Everybody got that, amen? All right. First from the King James. Read a read.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with the 34th verse.
Mm-hmm.
Awake to righteousness and sin not.
Now see, we'll straighten it out when we get to the Greek. That's not how Paul said that. All the translations follow that way. That's okay. Read.
For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Now see, if you connect that together, then it lets you know the first part of that is not what he said, because of what he's saying in the second part. But we'll straighten that out. Keep reading.
Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come?
Now see, context. One of the things that the pastor is to really drive home to me. Context. Context is everything as far as understanding. There are a group of people talking and you walk up in the midst of the conversation. And you hear one sentence and you jump on that sentence. Not having the advantage of those who have been in the conversation from the beginning. And because of what you pull out of that one sentence, out of context, you go off on a tangent and everybody in the group will turn to you and say, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. This is why we are always careful to get into the context of the text. You don't know the text until you have the advantage of knowing the context. The context determines the text.
That's right.
Here he's talking about people that do not understand things. And so I guess we have to run on to the Greek now, because the further we get down the road, the more off we're going to be without this actually being broken down into the proper utterance of what is said. I cannot stand here and explain to you what is said without knowing what the utterance is. Wrong utterance, wrong explanation, wrong explication. All right, let's go to the Greek there.
1 Corinthians 15:34 in the Greek text.
Now, before he even get to that, up in that 33rd verse, why don't you go back to verse 33? To just know what he's talking about.
Verse 33, be ye not led astray.
So, don't be led astray. That's what he's talking about. That is, you are moved from the essence of what things are to what they seem to be. That's what he's talking about. You are dwelling in how things look versus how they are. Now, of course, our viewing is dangerous. Nothing is in what it seems to be. We cannot depend upon sight. Scripture teaches us that we walk by what?
Faith,
not by sight. Most of God's people are sightseers. What we see or what we visually view impacts and influences us. And this is basically what he is saying. Finish that up.
Corrupt customs.
Mm-hmm.
Good associations bad.
All right. So corrupt, anything that's corrupt, that means it's been tampered with, is not real. You go into the courtroom and they start talking about evidence and bringing in scientific evidence, and then the defense comes in and says, no, this lab work has been corrupted. It means it's not reliable. So unreliable customs are socially, it contaminates and bring in bad associations. So what you see has contaminated what it is. So the essence of what it is what it's saying.
Amen.
Everybody repeat after me. It's in the same. Not the same. And that's a lesson that we got basically learned. So this is what Paul is saying when he starts off in that 34th verse. Read.
Verse 34. Become ye sober righteously.
Stop. We have the Greek verb there. Ekne sate. Acme sate. You see that? It's translated here, be calm ye sober. Brother Deacon, you got your... I'm going to take my time this morning. You got your Greek lexicon there, right? What is that verb?
It's an aorist imperative.
Aorist imperative. It basically is saying, awaken. I haven't come to awareness. It's second person plural. He's addressing those whom God has prearrangedly brought them to an awareness. And Paul doesn't know who they are. But he's addressing, because the word of God goes out, and the Holy Spirit, according to his will, he conveys his message and comprehension to those that it has been preassigned to. So those are the ones he is addressing here. Not to become, because it's in the aorist tense. It's complete. Awaken. A sobered. How?
Become ye sober righteously. And
awaken, stop. Awaken righteously. Rightly. Correctly. Mm-hmm. The Greek word there is dikaios. The chaos. It is an adverb. Rightly. In other words, come into the right sphere of thinking and understanding. Keep reading.
Become ye sober righteously and do not sin.
Okay, that's not basically, if you take the context into there. So what we're going to be awakened to is rightly rather than the error. What does sin mean? To miss the mark. To miss the mark. The Greek word is amatarnete. It is in, what is that, Brother Deacon? It is a present imperative. So here we're going to get into the right stream of what things are versus what they seem to be. That's what Paul is talking about. Someone would go here and they would preach from this, and we'll go back to the Old Testament, and they would tie it in and say, be you holy because I'm holy. That's when now Paul is speaking about right thinking, right comprehension, right understanding. And not missing the mark or be thrown off the track because you got the wrong information.
Amen.
And to show that they have the wrong information, the latter part of that verse confirms what we're saying. Finish that up, Elder.
Become ye sober righteously and do not sin, for ignorance of God some have. For shame to you I speak.
I speak this to your shame that you are ignorant. You have not the knowledge and understanding. So here the context is knowledge and comprehension and understanding. You get that? So that you don't walk up in the middle of the conversation and not understand what is what is being conveyed. And then it goes on in verse 35. We might as well just stay in the Greek because the clock is beating me up already.
Verse 35.
Mm-hmm.
But will say someone, how are raised the dead,
mm-hmm.
and with what sort body do they come?
All right, so now he's talking about knowledge. You see the whole context here now? He's talking about knowledge. He's talking about understanding. And because there was misunderstanding, here you have unlearned questions that are being raised. Context. Everybody say context. So that we have understanding. So a question is asked here based upon corrupted communications of thinking, of how we view things. In other words, what he's focusing in on here is that what comes out of us viewing things through physicality and assessing things through physicality without the influence and knowledge and direction of spirituality. And this is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18 he's conveying the message that we're not looking at the things that we see. We're not looking at what's being seen. But we're looking at what's unseen. In other words, we're not looking at physicality for comprehension. We're looking at spirituality. Because the things being seen, which are physical in nature, are temporary. Everybody say temporary.
Temporary.
What's temporary? It's passing. Quick. Boom. It's here. It's gone. And the things that are unseen are what? Eternal, everlasting. That's where things really are. They're not moving. They're not changing. They're not challenged. Everywhere you look around you, there are challenges. In the sphere of spiritual eternality, there are no challenges. Awaken.
Yes.
That's what we are to look to.
Amen.
The unchallenged rather than the challenged. For peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For stability.
Yes.
For reliability.
Yes.
The essence of what is resides in eternality rather than that which is temporarily manifested in time. Now, it seems to some in verse 36 that Paul is a little harsh here. But that is placed there to emphasize the absurdity of the question. The interrogative that's in verse 35, it is answered affirmatively, and this expression is put there to emphasize the absurdity of assessing things in physicality. Like I said to you, I'm taking my time this morning. What you see is not it. But then what is it? What God is saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Rather than what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Five people can see the same thing and come up with five different renditions. And you know what? All five of them could be incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And this is why we go to the scriptures. Even when we look into the matrix, it is from the vantage point of scripture viewing. Everybody says scripture viewing. Scripture viewing deals with what is said, what has been said, or what has been the saying, one decree. It is what God has decreed it, rather than how it may manifestly look in the matrix.
Amen.
Remember now, we have this fine matrix, remember? Representations. Visual representations are indications. They're in grids and patterns, and this is why as we scope physicality, it is always in grids and patterns. Remember, physicality is conveyed, and its medium is space and time. And it has patterns in it. Some of them, sometimes they are really zigging and zagging. We express some of that. And those who are watching by the webcast, you can find this document. If you go into our audio section, you click on it, and there is a link and to the document, comprehensive scripture comprehension of measures, the matrix. Today we are on page 34. Page 20. Page 20. And so, as this thing here is laid out, it's telling you that how you view life is not how life is.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, we don't want to hear that. Because how things look is how it registers in our brains. How that thing is etched there. And we even assess God on the basis of what we see. How are you going to assess God on the basis of what you physically see when God is not physical? God is spiritual. Beyond what you see. Beyond what you think. Beyond what you assess according to human condition. Beyond the entire human intelligence. Why do you think you can't see God? Because we're in the physical sphere, and God's not physical.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Preach.
That's why. But He's more than real, because the essence of what you see are only reflections of that which is real. What it is, you stand in the mirror and you look into the mirror and you see what? You see reflections. What's really in that mirror? Nothing. I mean, if you're in a room at night and you look in the mirror and you pick out the light, what happens to the mirror? There wasn't ever anything in there. That's why we call it the matrix. It's representations. So no, you're not going to look in the mirror and see God. Because nothing is in the mirror. Nothing is in the mirror. Completely nothing is in the mirror. Nothing is in time. Nothing is in space. Except representations. Or manifestations of things showing up for testimony's sake. God is giving it to us some conveyances, but the essence of it is to move us into dependency upon the essence of what things are rather than what they appear to be. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So you're all stressed out over nothing. You're all stressed out over nothing. Calm down. Relax. What is that mother good Lord Johnson said? She said, why should I be laying here worrying about something that's already done? I mean, what can you reach into the mirror and change? Alter. What can you reach into the mirror and fix? Why? There's nothing there. The true object of things are found in the sphere of spirituality. Using an analogy, physicality is confined to reflections in the mirror. And then another thing about spirituality, it tells us that all things are complete.
Glory to God. Thank God.
Which means nothing needs changing.
Come on here.
Only reason we see change is because we're looking in the mirror.
Come on, Doctor. Preach now. Oh, glory. Yes.
And we're seeing these sequences of things that are occurring each day. And some of them are driving us crazy. Some of us are basket cases. We're walking around sad when we should be happy. You belong to God. You're His child. You're in the body of Christ. You're an heir of God. Joint heir of that which belongs to Christ. And we're miserable? Because of something that's temporarily occurring. And whatever it is, it's not going to stay there. It's not moving because everything, I mean, it's not going to stay. It's moving because everything moves.
Yes.
Right now, you're sitting still in your seat, but you're moving because you're on Earth, and you're trapped in its gravitational pull, and the Earth is moving through space at 66,000 miles an hour. So everything is changing.
Amen. Glory to God.
And so nothing is stationary. Nothing is reliable. And we do this, we bring this to our attention as the Word of God does, so that we don't be so frustrated. The essence of our life is not about what we're doing now.
Amen.
What's happening to you on a daily basis. Your ups and downs. All sequence into testimony for purpose. Everybody said purpose.
For purpose.
So when that question is asked, Elder, I want you to read that. That verse 36. Everybody with me, say amen.
Amen. Verse 35 or 36?
Mm-hmm.
36?
Mm-hmm.
Foolish man.
See, stop. Foolishness.
Yeah.
Nonsense. I don't know why he put man there. I guess he was trying to show who's addressing. Here, the Greek word is aphron. You could say, foolish, crazy, nonsense. Which are most things that we interfacially engage. Read.
Foolish man, thou what sowest, not made alive, unless it dies. And what thou sowest, not the body going to become, thou sowest, but a naked grain. It may be.
Okay.
Of wheat, or someone of the rest.
Okay, now what is Paul saying? Now I think we exegete. Didn't we exegete that in the Wednesday? Okay, we'll come back to that. We're not going. But basically, what he said is, what you're doing doesn't really determine anything. In the kingdom gospel, Jesus said, you cannot add one cubit to anything. You know, it's strange. It's very strange. You didn't determine.
Bring it out.
What your gender is.
No.
What your ethnic or origination is. You didn't determine who you were born to. Your parents were assigned to you. You didn't determine what age you were born in. What country you were born in. Now once you get here, you start arranging things. And moving things. And changing things. And fixing things. We think God just made the world. He just created the world and he stepped back and then he said, all right, let's see what happens now. You know, and that's why we went to that Colossians yesterday.
Yeah.
We were
ministering. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Amen.
In him.
In him.
Were created.
That's right. That's right.
Estiste. Were not. And as we brought out yesterday, that is an aorist. What?
Indicative.
Indicative mood is what?
Fact.
Aorist tense is what?
Yes,
completed action. It's a completed fact. Creation is a completed fact. Everything is already done. We're just moving through, going with the flow. So we should always be looking not to ourselves, but to God. He said there's nothing that you're doing is causing anything. Let's go to page 20 of the in our document. Let's go to the bottom of page 20. Everybody got it, amen, where it says eternality's wake up call.
Amen.
Let's wake up.
Amen. Thank God.
Let's wake up to the fight.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
As it sells the streets, be for real.
Yes. Come on.
Let's see things as they are. And the only way to see things as they are is through scripture viewing. So we look into the Word of God. Here at the bottom of page 20, everybody got it again, say amen. Eternality's wake-up call preempts the premeditatively protective, non-conforming daily basis and ongoing difficult path of being awake and alive to choose what the matrix has for you. What are we saying? when we awaken to the fact of eternality, it stops, overrules, it make null and void those things that are premeditatively protected in our mind, based upon our sight of those things that seem to be non-conforming daily. And we move from that basis, from the ongoing difficult past of thinking that we are waking and alive, to choose what's going on. It takes us out of that illusion.
All right now, illusion.
Our dependence is upon God. No, our total dependence is upon God.
Yes,
a fly doesn't wither his left wing unless God has ordered it.
Mm-hmm.
A leaf doesn't fall in the forest from a tree, and it doesn't matter if no man sees it. God ordered it. And the manifestation is in testimony. Stick of the fact that it was ordered. So our lives are not dominated and controlled by us. God help us to learn to depend upon him. To trust him. To stretch out on him. Then maybe we can get rid of some of this stress. We're stressed because we're dependent upon ourselves, and we know what our flaws and our shortcomings are, and it makes us nervous, and it should.
Yes.
If that's what we're dependent upon.
Thank you, Lord. Thank God.
You must learn to depend upon him and him alone. Take some of the stress out of your life. You land down worrying about things that you can't do anything about.
Yes.
You're stressed out.
Yeah.
Because of something you think is going to happen. And then if that's what's decreed, that it's already happened. Manifestation follows the decree.
Yeah.
If it's manifested, it must happen. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if it's decreed, brother, it must happen.
Yeah.
If it's not decreed, it can't happen.
Yeah.
The thing is, do you trust God's decree? Mm-hmm. Has he caused you, amen, to come into the internalization to the point that you realize that is God's move, not yours.
Right.
According to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, God's purpose makes some of us nervous.
Right. Yeah.
God's will makes some of us nervous.
Oh, God.
We're nervous because that thing may be decreed the very opposite of what I want. But life is not about what I want. Life is about what he has decreed. And the awakened one walks in total conformity to trusting what God has done. Even if it's not the way I think it should be. And how many times things go differently from what I think it should be. You should get used to that by now. But the essence of who we are, you are his child.
Yes. Yes.
Those of us that have children, don't we look out for them?
Yes. Come on, Pastor.
Yes.
The problem is, though, we're looking in the matrix, and that's not where the happiness are. Mm-hmm. The happiness are not in the temporary terrain of time. It is in the essence of eternality, where everything is already fixed.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank God. Yes. Thank you. Oh, glory.
Oh, my God. Look at that clock. This message merely resonates. I'm back to the paragraph now. by way of its mean to wield occupancy in the apocalyptic discovery of what it communicates to wake up. So basically, it won't mean something to some, but to those who are been called to be enlightened. There, I don't have time, but there's some passive voices in here that we didn't we didn't get a chance to. We'll deal with that in Bible study to show that what you do is a result of what God has decreed. Otherwise, you are performing acts of creation if your action is original. So the mistakes I make, God calls me. He doesn't have to make a mistake. He doesn't have to cause you to make a mistake. The depravity is on automatic pilot. What does the depravity do? It makes. In fact, that's the only thing it does. It makes mistakes. God overrules the depravity in the decree, and when you do the thing is right, it is because your depravity, which is prone to do what is wrong, has been overruled. For purpose. Everybody say for purpose.
For purpose.
Everything is purpose.
Everything.
God did not make this universe and then step back and say, all right, you guys, y'all handle it from here. No. Everything moves at the cadence of the drumbeat of what God has declared. And when did he declare it? In eternity. Not in time. Appropriately enough, everybody with me, the matrix of discombobulated and is confused generations of cultures exude samplings of inadequate languages due to despair and illusionary hope. And so how things are laid out in nomenclature and how things are expressed and how things are basically communicated is according to the terrain that is around us. When whatever is happening, there's a higher purpose above it.
It is. Always. Oh.
Mm-hmm. The bad things, there's a higher purpose above it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The unfortunate things, mm-hmm. there's a higher purpose above it. And all you are not going to look into the matrix
mm-hmm.
and comprehend.
All right.
You must look into God's word.
Amen.
That's a song we sing sometimes. Look and live, look and live. It's recorded in his word. What? Look and live.
Yeah.
According to what's in the word. But what I see is different from what God is saying. So which one is real? And which one is an illusion? What is real is what God's saying. What is an illusion is what I see. If it differs from what God said. I'm going to move on for the sake of time. Give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to wrap this thing up. Such induces what is tailor-made for unenlightened sojourners. What is tailor-made for unenlightened sojourners constantly seeking for answers in less than edifying images of unreliable processes. Follow what we're saying here. Going back to these illusionary thinking and seeing as Paul was speaking, and he says, absurd.
It's it.
You don't change anything. You don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
See how he was bringing things into focus?
Yeah.
Because that side of thinking is what induces what is tailor-made for unenlightened sojourners. You know, a sojourner is that's a person just moving through.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm a stranger, you live here. Say, no, I'm just passing through.
That's
doesn't know anything about what's going on in that town, does he? Probably doesn't even care.
Yeah.
Constantly seeking for answers. We're constantly seeking for answers and less than airtime images of unreliable processes. We're looking for answers in the wrong place.
Amen.
We're trying to figure out what things are according to what we see. And we're asking the wrong question. So there's no way we're going to get the right answer with the wrong question. The right question is what are things for? Not what are they? What is this for? Not what is this? Not looking into space frames, into physicality, and not understanding that everything there, amen, is a reflector. But the Word of God teaches us that everything is purposed. Everybody say purpose. Everything is purposed. Everything that happened is purpose. Nothing happens haphazardly. Oh, we do things haphazardly, but not God. Nothing is originally of itself. It's not nascent. Everybody said nascent. That's the word that was. Big word. Every word is a big word till we learn the word. Then it's not a big word anymore. Pastor used to say. That is something that just now popped up, come into being. It's a reflector. You mean that dumb move I made? Yes. You mean that stupid mistake I made? Yes. Well, I did this time. I got it right the second time. Said, no, that was the process of moving through. So, well, I wish I had done this at first. There's no way you could have done that first. No way you could have done anything but what you did.
That's right.
But understand that the purpose determines the process. And God is a purpose God. And all of the processes are designed and set up and moving toward the end of God's purpose. But he even designed the process.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
So nothing, quote, just happens. Yes. Nothing just happens. Otherwise, God created a universe and he's sharing control of it with us. Synergism. Oh, no, you don't. We're partners with God. Partner, the term partner gives some inference of equality. So you say you're partnering with God, that means you have some kind of equal balance or something. I don't know. Something escapes us. We really don't know who God is. We don't really know what creator and maker means.
No, we don't.
Sometimes we begin to think we're little creators.
Amen.
No, you're not. Oh, God.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
These are arenas. Are you following me? Are you with me? Where nothing is certainly known, that is, in the matrix, why they're there, what they're doing, how things are into this function, why occurrences transpire or happen, and what should be ascertained. You draw nothing out of the matrix as far as understanding.
Amen.
Oh. The Old Testament, why do you think it said, acknowledge me in all thy ways and what? I'll direct your paths.
Right.
In Kingdom Gospel, James, it says to basically, if a man don't have wisdom, what? Let him ask the God. That's corroboration.
Amen.
How do you do that? Through his word. All right, eternality answers what restrictively manifests in the mundane or worldly observations through what? Through purpose discovery of that which defies what is only the a part of what seems to be determined. In this routine, of waiting for something, anything, everything to happen. So it is only determinative in routines. Basically what we're saying there is, you're trying to figure it out, and there it is, and you'll never know what it is, and even after it manifests, you still may have it wrong. How many times we thought something was a way, certain way, and then later we found out it wasn't that way, it was another way. And even though you saw it, that's the way you assessed it. That's the conclusion you came to. Only to find out later you were wrong. The pastor, you're saying we don't know nothing. That's correct. I'm include myself. We don't know anything. He knows everything. We know nothing. And the only thing we get correct is what we get from him. I mean, what truly comprehensible and comprehensibly can come out of depravity? Huh? Acknowledge him in all your ways, corroborative what? He directs your path. Now, if you knew something, you wouldn't need him to direct your path.
I hear you.
You just walk on through.
I
advise you not to do that.
Yes.
Make sure that he guides your way, guides your actions. I would love to go through another paragraph, but I think we're probably out of time for today. But we got to get this thing straight.
Amen.
God help us to wake up.
Amen.
Walk in reality.
Amen.
You see all the crazy stuff that's happening out there?
Amen.
Not really crazy. Oh, it's crazy from the standpoint of what we view and what we see. Don't you know that there is order of all the disorder?
Amen. Amen.
All the disorder of what is seemingly manifesting as disorder was ordered.
Order. Oh,
in eternality, it's straight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as I look at it, it's crooked.
Mm-hmm.
But in the essence of eternality, it's straight.
Straight.
We look around and we see things are messed up. It may be messed up in the matrix. But in reality, in eternality, it's straight. It's know, we're all on this earth for, as far as our conscious moving through frames, it's very short. God is good. He's merciful. He didn't put us here for 1,000 years. Thank God.
Thank God.
Even though most of us want to live as long as we can, God is merciful. He didn't put us here for 1,000 years or 500 years. We're in the turns of time, dealing with the essence of problems and things in time, but all the best part of it is quick.
Amen.
We laid a memorial, memorialized Mother Mildred Gutlow Johnson yesterday. And according to what was on the program there, she turned 82 in February. So she lived not quite 1,000 months. Quick. Well, she lived a long time according to our standards as we look and we are somehow situated in this frame. It's what? It's a long time. After we zoom out, what seemed big now seems small. Again, Neptune, 3 billion miles from the sun as it revolves around it, one revolution, which would constitute a year, is equal to 165 Earth years. So she only lived part of a day if she was on Neptune. Everybody said quick. Temporal. But we are in the essence in Christ. We are in the essence of Christ. We are in the essence of Christ. What does that mean? We are fixed. We're in the eternal now. We're set. Oh, God, help us to awaken to the point that we're set. God has given us in the most favorable position of all creation. We are sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ. We are set. Oh my God, this is why we can say God is good. No matter what's in the nation, God is good. Oh, give him praise this morning.